Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, right here that we're going to be looking at this morning. So I'll give you a few more moments to send out that text to her. I don't want you to miss anything I'm about to say, because it's really, really good. This is the kind of stuff, man, I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this, if you believe this, it will change you. It will make you into a better person. You will become joy-filled when you grab this truth. As Mary grabbed that truth, Gabriel said, you are going to bear the Son of God. And she grabbed hold of that sure truth. It changed her. And I'm telling you, this truth that I'm bringing to you today will have the same effect upon you. It will absolutely change you. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Let me ask you this. Okay, here we are. Tomorrow's Christmas. All right, so we got Christmas Day upon us. What was one of your favorite gifts that you received as a child? Say, under the age of 12, okay, one of your favorite gifts that you received as a child. Y'all tell me?
BB gun.
BB gun, that's right, that's a good one.
Football.
Football, all right. Oh, a mini bike. That's pretty cool. Huh? What? Oh, a Barbie Corvette. Yeah. That's cool. All right. Transistor radio. You just dated yourself really good. Wee, baby. Boombox. Okay, boombox. Lots of good stuff. I guess one of mine was, I must have been about 8 years old, going back to the Barbie Corvette, okay? Here's mine. So I was about 8 years old, and my dad bought me and my two younger brothers an electric Corvette. It was an electric car Corvette. This would have been, I don't know, 70-something, whenever it was. So these were the first electric cars that you could ride. And so we were able to get around, tool around on all those things at Christmas Day. And those batteries were so bad, I don't remember riding it much after Christmas Day. But now, where is that stuff today? All that stuff that you thought was so cool that you just said, I cannot live without. Where's that stuff today? It's underneath your bed. What did it say? He still has it? Like for real? What is it? What was it? A pellet gun. You still got your pellet gun. Okay. That's all right. It's a good thing to keep. Yeah. But where's the rest of our stuff? There it is. Right there. That's where most of our stuff is, right? Piled underneath tons and tons of garbage. Now, I want you to think about this. That's where our stuff, we get new stuff, right? We get new stuff. It gets old. It gets frayed. It needs repair. We eventually put it away in a back closet, underneath the bed, whatever we do. Or we throw it away, right? And that's it. That's the end of it. We're not playing with that stuff anymore. We don't use it necessarily anymore. What's God's Christmas gift? What's God's Christmas gift? We are. We're God's Christmas gift. Now you think about this. Here's what God does with his Christmas gift. He pulls us out of the garbage. He refurbishes us. He makes us brand new. He lavishes his love on us and then makes us new every day. We never lose our luster. Amen? We never grow old in his sight. We're always beautiful. We're always the object of his affection. It never gets, oh, I'm tired of that. I'll put it away. I'm going to get rid of it. No! He takes what's old, what's broken, and turns it into something new, and it remains that way for the rest of eternity. And how does it happen? Well, we've been looking at the book of Colossians about God raising the bar. We looked at this whole thing of God raising the bar on prayer, God raising the bar about who Jesus is in Colossians 1, 15 through 20, this wonderful prayer. And then Paul tells us, here's how God makes you new. Here's what he does. You were a certain way, but now you're something completely different. And so he talks about how this happens in Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. At the end of this beautiful poem, that he's writing about Jesus. He says and through him, through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you. Say that with me. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. You were separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Here's what we're going to be looking at today. This passage, do you see there on the screen? You once were alienated from God. You were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. He goes on in verse 21 to say, you were these things. You were. But now, we're going to look at the end, you are. You were, he says right here, you were far away from God. You were alienated from him. This word alienation means you belong to somebody else. The root means you were part of another country. It goes back to this idea, you were part of the devil's territory. You were in the trash heap of the devil. In chapter 1, I believe it's verse 15 or 13, Paul says, for he, Jesus, has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son. You were here. This is where you used to live. You belong to the enemy. You were alienated. You were separated from God. In fact, he goes on to say, not only were you far from God, but you were his what? You were his enemy. God wasn't our enemy. We were his enemy. That's what the Bible teaches. I was the one who shook my fist at God, but God came after me. Amen? Here's the deal. We say, I don't want God. I don't need God. We have this attitude towards God, but God doesn't have that attitude towards us. He says, he looks at us, he says, you want to run away from me? You're not going to run away from me. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you with everything I've got. I'm coming after you. You will feel my love. You will know my love. And that's what he did. He wasn't our enemy. We were his enemy, and we were his enemy because we were separated by our evil thoughts and actions. These evil thoughts are both passive and aggressive thoughts against God. The aggressive thoughts against God are when we say, you know, I'm just not going to do it your way. I know what the Bible says. Don't do these things. Live this way. I don't care. Tells me not to be prideful. I'm going to be prideful. Tells me to forgive. I'm not going to forgive. It tells me, you know, that I shouldn't be jealous. I shouldn't covet. Well, okay, that's good for you, but I'm just going to keep doing it. Doesn't matter. It can tell me all day long to forgive. I'm not. I'm just going to hold on to stuff. That's aggressive. Some people are even a little bit more aggressive when they put their hand up and say, no, no, I don't believe in you. You don't exist. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. That doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do my own thing. It's aggressive. But there are also passive thoughts, right? And those are the thoughts like, you know what? In order to know you, I guess I have to be really, really good. Or you're just a God who's far away from me. You're not a God who's nearby. Or you're not a God I can trust. You allow all this bad stuff to happen to me. And we just live out these passive thoughts. These thoughts that are absolutely contrary to what God says in his word about us. And these thoughts alienate us. They separate us. And here's the thing about the passive thoughts, even the active thoughts. They don't automatically go away when you become a believer. Those passive thoughts about what you say about God are still there. I still have to work for his approval. I still have to do things to make him happy. When I'm good, then I know he's close. When I'm bad, he's far away from me. Whatever those thoughts may be, those things are not automatically just erased. They're erased through the renewal of the Spirit in our mind as we meditate upon the Word. Now look, this isn't saying I'm as bad as I possibly could be. You can do some good stuff, right? People can do good stuff. People can do nice things. But what this is saying is that I'm not seeking after God. You were, read with me, you were what? Far away from God. You were his enemies, separated by our evil thoughts and actions. And then Paul comes to verse 22. Look at verse 22 with me. Yet now. Say that with me. Yet now. It's one of the great transitions in the Bible. Right here, this transition. You were his enemy. Yet now. He has reconciled you to himself through the death of Jesus Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you, you who are sitting here in the pew today, who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy, you are blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Amen? That's what you are. You were alienated. But now he says to them, there are several things. You are reconciled to God. You are now a friend of God. You were his enemies, but now he has brought you into his presence. This whole thing of being reconciled to God, we hear Paul talk about it in Romans chapter 5. He says this in verse 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of Jesus. So now we can rejoice in our new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Friend, I am a friend of God. Say that with me. I am a friend of God. Say it again. I am a friend of God. He has reconciled you. He has brought you into his presence. Listen, this word reconciliation means there's no separation between you and God now. If your faith is in Jesus, there is no separation. Nothing separates you from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. That's what Romans 8 says. Nothing. I don't care how bad you are, how messed up your life may be, how many awful thoughts you've thought, whatever you've done. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, nothing separates you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? You're a friend. You're a friend. You're a friend of God. And not some alien friend like, you know, yeah, we used to be close. No, you're close. Here's the thing. When Jesus Christ came, he said, I and the Father are what? I and the Father are one. When Jesus took upon our sins, as the Bible says, separate us from God, right? Our sins separate us from God. So when he took upon my sin, all of my sins, past, present, future, when he took those things on, he separated himself from God, right? For he cried out, my God, what? Why have you, what? Forsaken me. He was separated. He was experiencing what sin does, the separation. But when he came up out of the grave, he rose victorious over sin. He is no longer separated by God, from God. He's united with God. And guess where I am? I am not orbiting around God. Like, yeah, I'm kind of in his orbit. No, I am in God through faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in me. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in God. Amen? Friend, we are reconciled. We are reconciled. I don't care how you feel today. You know, I just don't feel it. That's what it says. That's what it says. You see, you got to get rid of that passive lie that says I've got to be a certain way in order to experience this truth. You are one with Christ if your faith is in Jesus Christ. He has reconciled you. The other thing that he says is he has brought you into his presence. This is the personal presence of God. God's everywhere, right? He's everywhere. But this is the personal presence of God. You know what this is? Come up here, Gene. Here's what this is. Hurry up here, Gene. Bring that old ugly. You don't have your shoes on either. Okay. All right. Well, he had on elf boots. So that's actually better than those elf. Yeah. Here's what this means. I'm living now in the embrace of the Father. All the time. Every day. This is me. This is me. This is me with my Father. I'm living in the embrace. That's when he says that he's brought me into his presence. This is the idea. I'm living in the relational presence of God every day. Amen? It's good. That's good. Thank you, brother. Amen. He doesn't come and go. Like one day we're close, one day he leaves. One day we're close, one day he leaves. I'm feeling good, he's close. I'm feeling bad, he's gone. I'm always living in the embrace of the Father. He says, we have been reconciled in the presence of God. Third thing he goes on to say is, I've been made holy. Say holy. Holy. What does that word holy mean? It means I've been set apart. Listen, underneath your Christmas tree are gifts that have been set apart, right? They have your name on it. They've been set apart. Don't you hate it when you put a gift underneath the tree and then have a name tag on it? Oh, who is that for? Who is that for? I don't know. Listen, God has set you apart. You've been set apart. Your name's on that gift for God. Your name is on that gift for God. You've been set apart by God. Don't you love the stories, folks, of the people that started off rags to riches? Person that was just living in a terrible lifestyle, and all of a sudden something happens and their life changes. And there's major transformation. Because that story is our story. One of those stories, maybe you heard this guy by the name of Ted Williams. Back in 2011, I believe it was in Cincinnati, Ohio, he was a homeless person on the side of the road just begging for money. He had a problem with addiction in his life, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, a number of things going on in his life. But man, he had a great voice. It was called The Man with the Golden Voice. This happened back in 2011. Maybe you heard the story. I want to catch you up with where he is today.
You know, on January 4th, 2011, I was, again, homeless and penniless and hopeless in some people's eyes. And when I got the call that they were looking for a homeless guy with a golden voice, I had no idea, really, who they were talking about. And so someone called me and told me, it's you that they're looking for. Your video went viral. Again, I don't know what to make of that because I wasn't familiar with viral videos and I didn't post that video and I knew nothing, very little, should I say, of the internet and all. And next thing you know, I'm on the Today Show with Matt Lauer and Meredith and all those great people. And all of a sudden thereafter, I'm on one of the leading doctor shows on television. I mean, the cameras, the lights, I've had all of the networks around the world. I went from homeless to Hollywood. I went from drinking rock gut to Grey Goose in a matter of minutes. Overwhelming would be an understatement. Let's just say I was paralyzed with fear. I was paralyzed with success. I just didn't know what to feel at any given time. My emotions surfaced out of nowhere. All through my homeless days, I never cried. My father died, I never cried. Here, I get to this point, and it seemed like everything that I should have and would have cried for surfaced, and I just became an emotional wreck. I feel like it was really too much too fast. I mean, hey, giving me a job would have been one thing. Ted, you know, you've won this, you've got that, and thank you so much. I mean, I've been satisfied right then and there. When people see me, they see an act of God. They also see that God is still alive and he's still working modern-day miracles. I really do feel that he who was homeless will lead the homeless home. I don't want people to think of me as I left this earth that I was a crackhead. I want them to see the impact. And I want my grandkids to look on YouTube and see some of the things that their papa was proud of that did. And I'm not going to sell myself short for anything because God gave me this for a reason. And that reason is to be here, to talk to you, to tell you, to keep in your prayers. This is Friends in a Homeless. It's a shelter that was here when I needed. One of the big things that I know that many of these guys suffered from, as well as me back in the day, was socks. We didn't have any. Today I'm going to give back some socks. I was right there at the head of the line when you put my hand down. So this is where I have a lot of loyalties now. It's just exciting to meet the people and to embrace them with hugs and all of that stuff because they know that I was just 5 years ago in the same situation that they were. Five years ago, I held a sign that said, I have a God-given gift of voice. I'm an ex-radio announcer who's fallen on hard times. Please, any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, and God bless. You know, if I was asked to rewrite that sign today, it would say, I have a God-given gift of voice. Acknowledge him in all my ways, and he will direct my path. Thank you, and God bless.
Isn't that great? Isn't that a great story? Amen. Give God praise. That's God's work. Look, that's where he was. That's where he was. But God changed him and made him holy and separate. You see, the reason that story resonates with us is because it's exactly what God did for all of us. We were the homeless ones. We were the ones separated from him. And he went after us and set us apart and made us holy, made us different. And not only did he make us holy and separate us, but he says also in this passage, you are now not only in his presence, you are also blameless. This word blameless means you're without fault. You're without blemish. You have no scars. You're absolutely... Hey, here's what it means, ladies. Ladies, look. You don't have to wear any makeup. Woo! Isn't that good? That's awesome. No makeup. Think about that. Nothing to cover. In fact, tomorrow's Christmas. Hey, God, you don't have to wear any makeup tomorrow, okay? In God's sight, you are all beautiful. You're all perfect. Listen, this all goes back to the sacrificial system. In the sacrificial system, they had to offer sacrifices that were completely perfect. They couldn't be broken bones. They couldn't be maimed. They couldn't have spotting in a particular way. They had to be perfect. And so he's saying about you, you are blameless, without fault in the sight of God every day. Every day. You are new through and through. Say that with me. I am new through and through. Turn to somebody and tell them that, okay? You are new through and through. Hey, hey. All the time. All the time. All the time you're that way. He has made you blameless. And so here's the issue, though. You said, man, but I don't feel that way. I'm like a hopeless hypocrite, you know? I just mess up all the time. I do bad stuff, say bad things, end up in bad places. Listen, God doesn't deal with you based upon your ups and downs. He deals with you based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And his blood has taken away your sins. His blood has purified you, and you are blameless. You are blameless in the sight of God today, without defect. He sees you in all your beauty. It goes back to Genesis 2. What did he say about Adam and Eve? Here they are in the garden before they sinned. They were completely exposed, completely exposed. And it says they stood before God completely exposed, and there was no shame. And that's the way you are today in the sight of God. You're blameless. And finally, he ends up and he says, not only are you blameless, but you stand before him without a single fault. This means there's no accusation. There's no accusation that God has against you. You are free from all charges against you. When Jesus died on the cross for you, his blood paid for every one of your sins, past, present, future. They're gone. You're free from all accusation. Amen? Yeah. All accusation. So whenever you hear accusation, oh, you're always going to be this way. It's never going to get any better. Whenever you hear people saying that, whenever you have those thoughts in your head, when you ever just, you have these accusations that just kind of plague you and come down upon you, those accusations are not coming from your Heavenly Father. They're coming either from the evil one or just from lies that you have believed year after year after year. God, you stand before God free from all accusations. You're not a hopeless hypocrite. You're not a terrible backslider in his sight. You are his beautiful, wonderful child of God. All of this is possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Friend, this is, look right here. This, all these things, that is your fixed position. That's how God sees you now and for all eternity. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in him, that's how he sees you right now today. You are a blameless child of God who lives in the embrace of the Father. I am a blameless child of God who lives in the embrace of the Father. I am a blameless child of God who lives in the embrace of the Father. Say that in your mind, not out loud, but just say it in your mind. I am a blameless child of God who lives in the embrace of the Father. That's you. That's today. Why did he do that? Why? Why does he do this to us? Why does he do all these things for us? Why? He created you to have a loving relationship with him. He wants you. He wants you. He needs you. You're part of his body. Jesus is the head, you're part of the body. It's not like you say, well, I don't need that body part, just get that part out of here. He needs you. And listen, friend, you are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you ever say to yourself, I'm not worthy. Friend, that is a lie from the devil himself. Your worth is based upon what somebody is willing to pay for you. And what was God willing to pay for you? The blood of Jesus. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees you as spotless, as blameless. He has given everything that is most precious to himself. He has given it for you. And he wants you to experience life as he intended. A life filled with freedom and hope and joy and forgiveness, purpose and love. I am a blameless child who lives in the embrace of the Father. Would you say that with me? I am a blameless child who lives in the embrace of the Father. Say it again. I am a blameless child who lives. Listen, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Woo! You take that, okay? Take that, go with it. Merry Christmas to y'all. Let's stand. Worship team, y'all come on up. Now, I'm not finished, Doug. I'm almost finished, but I'm not quite finished. Because look what he says in verse 23. You don't have your Bibles, but let me just read what he says. So he says to him all these wonderful things. But then in verse 23, this is what's important. He says, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firm in it. You must believe this truth, continue to believe this truth, and stand firm in it. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firm in it. Turn to somebody and tell them that, okay? You must continue to believe this truth and stand firm in it. Because I want to tell you something. This truth of what I just said about you, about what Paul just said about you, this truth, I'm telling you, it will be contended. Your past will say, no, it's not true of you. Your present will try to overwhelm you. Your struggles in the present, your fears of the future, the lies of the enemy, the falsehood of bad teaching, the negative speak of others, all that stuff will conspire to say, this is not true of you. But you remain firm in this thing. You continue in this truth. I want you to make this confession with me today, okay? Let's make this confession. I was... Okay, look, I want you to emphasize was, okay? Let's say it. I was alienated from God. I was his enemy. I was separated from God because of my evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, say that with me, yet now, say it again, yet now, turn to somebody, point them in the chest and say, yet now, okay? Yet now, woo, yet now. I'm telling you, this is something to get down on right here, yet now. I am, let's get it up here, all right. So I am reconciled to God. I live in the presence of God. I am without defect. I am free from... Woo, amen, amen, give him praise. I'm so pumped. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't got a smile on your face, there is something majorly wrong with you, okay? You got something going on. I'm telling you, you're new. You are new through and through. You're new through and through. God takes junk, refurbishes it, fits it with his own purpose, lavishes his love on it, and then makes it new every single day. Listen to this gift. Christmas gifts get old and fray, but Jesus makes me new every day. Amen? Woo! Woo! Amen. Now listen, we're going to sing a song. It's a great song. This revelation, though, this truth, I'm telling you, God's given me this revelation. He's given me this revelation, and I want to impart it to you. And if you're here today and you say, man, I want more of that. I want more of that. I just want you to come down front here. I'm just going to have a real quick prayer of release. We believe in the power of impartation. That is what God's given to me. We believe that He can release it through us and give to other people. So I want to do that. If you're here while we're singing this song or at the end of the service, come on down front. I want to release this to you. This is God's Christmas gift to you today, knowing your purpose and your identity in Him. Amen? Amen. Y'all sing this with joy. Doug will dismiss us. Stephanie's going to be in the back. If you're visiting with us for the first time, she's got a special gift for you. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you tonight.